In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and to the ages of all ages. Amen. In the few weeks which follow the Feast of the Holy Resurrection, the Lord comes to His disciples to give them peace, to give them strength, and to give them a new beginning. We have seen last week that our Lord appeared to the disciples, but St. Thomas wasn't with them, so again He appeared to him and He told him, peace to you. He wanted to make sure that He was strong and had full knowledge and understanding and confidence and faith in the Holy Resurrection, because He will be a witness unto him. In the second week after the Holy Resurrection, which is this Sunday, we'll find that the Lord is again coming to feed the disciples the spiritual food, but also to appear to them, to give them faith and strength, and to take away any anxiety or fear from them. And that's why this weekend a series from the Gospel of St. John chapter 6 will be read for us in the Vespers, in the raising of incense, as well as in the liturgy tomorrow. In today's Vespers raising of incense from the Gospel of St. John chapter 6, we see the Lord coming to the disciples as they went into the sea and they got into the boat and they were going towards Capernaum. And it was night, there was no light, like now when it gets dark, it's really dark, and they depend mainly just on the light of the moon. And the Lord did not enter with them in the boat. And there was turbulent conditions, uproar, and they thought that they were doomed. There were no 911 calls. There were no one to come to the rescue. No helicopters, no ships, no one to call, no cell phones, nothing. They were on their own in the midst of the sea. And they started to doubt a little bit. The sea arose because great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, that's a long distance into the lake, they were caught in the middle. The lake was not huge, but 3 or 4 miles could be somewhere in the middle of the lake, where if they row in any direction, it's the same thing. They almost faced their doom. They saw our Lord Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. Where did He come from? No one knew. But He knew that His disciples were afraid, and they were facing turbulent conditions, and the faith was growing weaker. The Lord came to them today walking on the water, and He told them the following statement, which will be the focus of our meditation this evening. They were afraid, but He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. You are amazing, O Lord, because You come to us in the perfect timing, when we were just about to lose our faith, and to get weak, and to have fears and anxieties. And You come exactly at the right moment to deliver us and to take our boat to the shore where we know that we will be delivered. I'd like to meditate with you this evening through the grace of God on this statement from tonight's Gospel. It is I, do not be afraid. Especially at this day and age, so many people face fears and anxiety attacks. And it is possible that the one medication that is prescribed the most today is medication for depression. And I have to admit that I don't come from a medical background, and I have a lot of respect for the medical field, for everything that it has done to humanity and to the human race. But my perspective of speaking tonight is that besides all the medical attention that we can receive, there is a need for Christ in our lives in order to face our fears and our anxieties. The Lord came to them tonight and said, "It is I, do not be afraid." The true peace and joy can only be present in our lives when Christ is present also in our lives. Even if we do everything that the world may say to us, and we still lack to have this faith that gives us true joy and peace inside, then the Spirit is not fulfilled. Because the human person consists not only of a body, but of a psyche and of a spirit. And all of them need to be in balance in order for the entire life to be in balance. So if we only take care of the body, there is the psyche and there is the spirit. And if we take care of the psyche, also there is something missing, which is the spiritual life, the spiritual medication, the connection with the Creator. And this spiritual connection could only be attained through the presence of the Creator Himself in our lives. What are some of the reasons that people panic, or have an anxiety, or have fears? Well, we see that the disciples today, they panicked because there was an emergency. There was an emergency where they had no control. So the first point here is that we may face our anxiety because there is a loss of control. There is nothing that we can do. We are in the middle of the boat, and the boat is in the middle of the lake, and there is no other salvation. I doubt very much that they had these life-saving vests back then. It was simple fishermen that just jump in the boat, and that's it. There is no other way. We're doomed. So there is a loss of control, and we start to panic when things are not in our full control. You and I, whenever we take a trip or go on any adventure, everything must be very much calculated to the dot. We're going to leave at this time. We're going to go on Expedia or Priceline or whatever, you know, website we're going to use to book the ticket. It leaves at that time. We're going to be in the airport. We know exactly which car we're going to rent, which hotel we're going to. We look at all the excursions that we're going to take, and when we'll be back at home, who's going to pick us up from the airport, who's going to take us back home. Everything is detailed. But the moment that we hear that, you know, the announcement in the flight is delayed due to some technical reasons, and they are checking it out, we start to panic. What if that plane is not completely fixed and, you know, the engine stop in the middle of the flight and we are in the middle of the ocean or middle of the lake somewhere, and we start to panic. We're not in control. What if the terrorists go on the plane and they attack us, right? What about the virus? You know, that they've been speaking about, West Nile virus, it killed like 2 people in, you know, the midst of God knows where, right? What if it comes to us and we have a loss of control? Disaster, and we start to panic, and we are afraid. Violent situations, other people's reactions to issues and concerns. We panic when the challenge is bigger than what we can handle. All of the Goliaths of the world are attacking us, and I'm just one simple person. I panic because of the exam, and even though I studied so hard, I don't know the questions. How are they going to appear? And when I go in front of that professor or in front of that examiner, are they going to be kind or not? Are they going to discriminate against me because I am, you know, such and such and such or not? I like to worry about health and future and money and family, my children, they are lacking behind in their studies. They are not close to God. They are very far. Their friends are the worst friends that anyone could have. God knows how they have picked them out of all the people. They just landed together and they became, you know, friends out of all the nice people that they could have had as their friends. Worry and struggle and pain causes us sleepless nights that we can't function. Of course, there are extremes. We're not speaking here about the individuals who will take like panic attacks to an extreme that they may affect their lives and they actually need medical attention. Again, this is very much recommended because some individuals actually, when these conditions go to extremes, they may need medication, they may need to see a professional or a physician. All of that, of course, is under the assumption of what we're speaking about here. But we are speaking about mild conditions here that we can try to figure out where we stand in terms of our relationship with God. Sometimes we feel threatened or a loss of control again. Or sometimes we feel that we lose track of our objectives in life, and these are also reasons of panic. Also, we may have fear because of past experiences. We have failed before. We have tried this test or exam or tried this way and we failed. And we're just gaining the courage to try it again, but we have no idea how is it going to go through. Am I going to fail again? Is there a chance for me to revive what I have done again? Or is it going to be the same situation over and over again? Relationships is another kind or reason for panic or anxiety or fear. I wonder if she loves me as much as I love her, or if he cares for me as much as I care for him. He paid attention to me and she didn't look at me when we were in the midst of 100 people and she didn't notice me. Is this relationship ever going to work or not? There is worry and panic and problems thinking that they might never be resolved. The Holy Scriptures comfort our hearts in the sense that it challenges us with how much we trust in God. And not all kind of fear or panic is necessarily a lack of faith. Because everyday life, individuals who are very close to God, who have dedicated their life for Him, who could be consecrated service or at any level could go through these phases. So I don't want to say that necessarily every fear has to be a lack of faith, even though it could be at some times. But the Holy Scriptures challenges us to put our trust in God and to know our limitations, and beyond them we have to trust in a loving and a caring God who Himself has built this whole universe in order to minister to His children, who are you and I and all of the creation. In the book of Proverbs 12:25 it says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." And anxiety always pulls us down to feel our pain and our suffering and to live in them day after day. Especially when we lose a loved one, when we are younger or a friend or a parent or a brother or sister, sibling. What if I lose the ones that I have now? My husband, my wife, my children. An anxious heart weighs a man down. Always like a rock that is tied to our feet in a lake or in a sea that is just pulling us down in order to drown. And some individuals may be overtaken with these anxieties and fear to the point that they can't put them aside in order to rise and see God's love and care and graciousness. Psalm 34 verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. He is the only one who can take this rope that is tied to my foot with a big rock to it, and He can untie it and throw it away. He is the only one who delivered me from all my fears. One of my favorite verses in Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If there is one verse that we need to come out with from all of this discussion this evening, I hope that we can remember this verse so we can go back to it over and over again. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. What's the key word in this verse here? With thanksgiving. That's the part that we always miss out. This is the beauty of this verse. But prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That means even if God allowed that we would carry our cross or have these pains or anxieties or fears at a certain time, yet we can never forget the part with thanksgiving, because this is the only help that God can provide for us in the midst of our problems. When we start thanking Him, even for the cross that we are carrying, or because of our fears, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God, this is what we need to attain, out of submitting to Him and telling Him, let it be your will. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, or another translation is cares. Cast all your anxiety or cares on Him. This is the NIV translation. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now here's the concept of knowing if I have full trust in God or am I still working toward this level. I'm not saying it's an easy level to reach. I'm not going to say that we're all going to walk out of church today and say I'm not going to worry about anything anymore. Problems are going to solve themselves. I don't care about anything. That's the opposite of what we're saying here or preaching. But we know that we have a mighty and a loving God whose hand is uplifting us and casting all of our anxieties and cares on Him, for He cares for us. And this is what we need to be very confident of this evening, is that He cares for me and for you. Me? I live in the midst of 6 point something billion people in this world today, and He sees me and He cares for me, yes. This is the promise of the Holy Scriptures. And I shouldn't have doubt in that. For He cares for you. He didn't even say, St. Paul, he didn't say He cares for us in the terms of a bulk barn, like, you know, go buy in bulk. No, He cares for you. And this message is directed towards each and every one individually. Yes, He may speak about one another and about the community and about the believers at certain times. But in this particular verse, He says, for He cares for you. Cast all your cares or anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And that's why the Lord said into that night's gospel, do not fear. It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid. Because, Lord, we're just going to cast our fears and anxieties underneath the cross, starting immediately to tell You that You are the Creator of all. You have known us inside out. You have put us and You have known each and every detail of our life when we're just being weaved into our mother's wounds, just like David the prophet said in Psalm 139, you knew how we're going to look like and how our appearance will be and our body weight and how many hairs in our head and the details of our eye and our fingerprints. Such knowledge is so amazing. And that's why he says, I'm the maker. I'm the Pantocrator. I'm the lover of all humanity. Do not be afraid. I am he. Do not be afraid. So many verses that we can share this evening concerning the comfort of God in the time of struggle, of fear, of anxiety. The Spirit helps us. Romans 8:26 to 28. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Do you ever stand in front of God and don't know what to say? Don't know how to pray? We're not eloquent enough to have strong vocabulary like those other preachers who put down such beautiful words, and they are very much organized, and we have a system for prayer, what goes first and what goes at the end. And I feel that I'm weak sometimes and I don't do this. Don't worry about it. Relax. Do not fear. For the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit, He is speaking on our behalf. You know that sinful woman who came at Simon's house, and all she did was to cry and to wipe the Lord's feet with her hair. She didn't say a word. What did the Lord say to Simon to condemn him? She loved much. He can understand our intentions and our feelings. And He understands the problems that we're going through. And He just wants us to come to Him finally, to submit to Him, to tell Him, Lord, we've tried so many times to resolve it with our logic and with our reason and with our human ways, and we've looked at the books and we've looked at everything, but still some things are unresolvable or irresolvable. And this is why we are coming to you. Hopefully we'll come to you earlier next time when we understand that we are just limited human beings. We need to come to the point when we say, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus, in Philippians 4:19. He will meet all our needs and He will satisfy us. I can do everything through Him who strengthens me, or who gives me strength. St. Paul really is one of those examples whom we can look at and glorify God. Out of all people, he is the one who was entitled to have fears and anxiety and panic attacks. Here is what he said. He said, I have been in prison. I have frequently been flogged severely and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with the rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And he says these beautiful statements, possibly because he is very faithful in his love for God, but these are statements and words to condemn me first. And maybe, if you think about it, you will try to evaluate the difference of everything that he has gone through and what kinds of problems that you and I may face. Then he says, who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. I will not boast about myself except about my weakness. And after all these things, and he asked concerning the thorn in his flesh, after all these things, God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. This is the conclusion of his struggles. He figured out an equation that, according to human common sense and reason, just does not work. But he said that it worked for him. And the question that you and I need to ask ourselves, does it work for me or not? Maybe I'm not there yet, that's okay. God is not asking us to speedily sprint towards a destination just because I heard a sermon in the church, or just because I heard one of my friends experienced God, and then I just need to be there. No, no, God wants us to go slowly. Slowly but surely towards the goal. But this is the conclusion of St. Paul's experience with God. He said to him, "When I am weak, then I am strong. My grace is sufficient for you. I need not fear, but trust in the Lord." Psalm 131, verse 1, "Put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever." Every day, every week, I am in contact with different believers, individuals who have reached the faith, people who are still working on their faith, individuals who have heard about Christ but they are not in the church or in the flock yet, or not baptized. One of the amazing stories that I heard this week, it just shows me how much Christ is still alive and he's working in people's lives. One individual who comes from the Middle East, who is not Christian, had a dream of Christ. And she didn't know Christ. This is a brand new story, because I said some stories on the Feast of Resurrection. This is a brand new story from this week. And she has never seen Christ. She has never seen a movie of Christ. She's nothing. And she was a kind of person who was a troublemaker. And this is through her own words. She fought with everyone. She didn't have peace with anyone. A lot of people hated her, for she was such a violent individual. And she saw a dream of Christ. He called, and she didn't know who he was. And then the next day she had a second dream of him again. And he was calling her for repentance and to come to him. And this is right here in Toronto. And he asked her to repent of her sins. And she started explaining how amazing and magnificent his face looked, peaceful, his brightness, his glory. And she said that in Islam, they have an honor for Jesus Christ, peace. They honor him. They look at him as a good prophet. Some people, even in her denomination, feel that Christ is exalted above the prophet Muhammad. And she spoke to her husband, and he said that if this is how you want to do, you want to pray to Christ, you are allowed to. There is no problem. And the priest asked her, you know, "Have you seen a movie? Did someone tell you a story?" And she denied it completely. But the one thing that really struck me here when I heard the story, so she spoke to another priest, not myself. I have to be clear. As the father was telling me the story just this week, the one thing that she struck me was when she told him that she had a complete change in her character. She said, "The people that I was mad at, I tried to be upset at them and I just couldn't. After I had this encounter with Christ, after I have seen Christ, my whole life has changed. I'm not the same person anymore." I try to hit someone and I just can't hit them. Something inside of me, like a system, a whole system collapsed, and a new system, you put it in, a whole new software. It's brand new. I'm a brand new individual. The things that made me mad before are completely changed. I'm a whole new individual who looks at Christ and who looks at the world at a whole new way and feeling. She doesn't speak much English, so her daughter was interpreting for her. And she asked, what should I do? And of course, the first step is to start reading the Holy Scriptures and to look at the New Testament and get to know Christ a little bit more. And the question that I asked myself after I heard this story, it is amazing really what Christ can do to our lives. A complete change, a new beginning. He is working so much now amongst unbelievers and people who have no chance of seeing Him or witnessing to Him or going to a church. He is the one who is appearing to them now and drawing them, just like that story of St. Paul. He was just completely going on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden a light shone around him and he couldn't see, and who is it? And Christ starts to identify Himself to them and to say, to bring them to the point to say, what should I do? And He says, go to this individual and then you will be baptized and you will come close to God and you will come to get to know Him a little bit better. And the life of St. Paul was completely changed around from that moment forward. Instead of being a persecutor of the church, he became persecuted for the church and for the faith. And he confessed by saying, when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's why we need to ask ourselves, is it worth it to panic and to have fears and to have anxieties and not to rest assured the Lord is caring for us and He has called us each one by our name? Of course, we need to be realistic. We're not speaking here to ignore all of our problems and to just be complacent or just to feel that we're just gonna not care about anything, and university will take care of itself and work will figure out itself. This is not what we're saying at all. For actually, the children of God are hard workers and they do their part. Just like St. Paul said, someone will plant the seed and someone else will water the seed, but it is God who gives the increase. Therefore, someone has to plant the seed in the ground. Someone needs to water, and this is human effort. Someone needs to roll the stone from the tomb of Lazarus. He said, roll the tomb, and Christ is the one who is going to resurrect the dead man. Can this be done without us? Of course, God can do everything, but He gives us the fellowship of His suffering. He gives us the fellowship of His work with Him, because He needs our full participation in whatever that we do. And this is what we are saying. But besides doing whatever we can, we need to trust in God that He cares for all. What are some of the practical ways that we can look at in order to relieve some of our anxieties and pains and fears? Sometimes sin is a reason for having no peace inside of our hearts. We know that we have disobeyed God's voice or commandment. And there's something, one thing that we are doing that is all the time separating us from God. So the first step is to search in our lives, in our daily lives, what is separating me from God? Because the scriptures say that there is no peace for the evil people, says the Lord. Someone is living an evil life. Therefore, just by the laws of nature, we cannot have peace. There is no way that we can have peace if we are not doing God's will. Therefore, once we discover what is separating me from God, I may repent and confess and find peace in my faith once more. And this is one way to bring back peace to my life. We need to be very realistic sometimes. Maybe we are setting certain expectations for ourselves that are unrealistic. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But again, we need to understand that we should not tempt the Lord our God. We should be realistic and reasonable. And even though we may need to challenge ourselves sometimes, yet we should be able to face disappointment with integrity and the ability to be thankful to God. Again, that key verse with thanksgiving is really important on our day-to-day dealings. We need to find places and people who will comfort us, and rather than adding to our pains and anxieties, to soothe away these anxieties and pains. Means such as reading the Holy Scriptures or spiritual books. Some people like to listen to certain types of hymns or Christian music, something that soothes our mind and gives us a sense of peace in our heart. We need to find where is our comfort zone. As soon as I feel troubled, where do I run to? Where do I go to? A person, a place, a thing, a book, in order to see Christ, who is the source of our peace and comfort away from fear and anxiety. Some people live a very serious life. Everything has to be taken very seriously. We need to find a place for laughter and joy and vacation. And just, you know, if you have a balloon or a tire that you just always, you know, pumping air into it, at some point, or, you know, it's going to explode. We need to find a way to release this anxiety a little bit. Retreats, taking walks in quiet places, and just altogether finding, you know, the places that give us this kind of release from our everyday life pressures. Talking and speaking our mind is really important. Because when you have a small idea in your mind and it continues to build and build and build, and you're thinking all day about the problem, by the end of the day or the week, it has become a huge disaster. But sometimes when you find an individual, such as a confession father, such as a counselor, such as you know, a respected individual from the community, or a good friend, or a husband, or wife, or whatever, some people speak to their children, whoever, you know, that individual you find who is wise, and you start speaking about the problem prayerfully and in wisdom, you might feel that the problem is not as big as you have thought it might be. It is actually much milder and smaller, and then you will be rested that it is in God's hand, and we will do what we can, and the rest is up to God. Sometimes we are worried about issues, and we never take action. I'm worried that I will never be admitted into this school, but I never actually apply. So sometimes I need to take action. I'm worried if I'm able to hold this ministry in the church, and I'm afraid to get involved all the time. And if someone asks me to get involved, I always push them away because I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. And, you know, speaking publicly and all of these fears, of course, which I'm the first one who has this kind of fear, even though sometimes it shows, sometimes it doesn't, but my knees are really like shaking and hitting against one another. So fear of public speech, you know, what are people thinking and all of these things. But actually we need to take action sometimes, and not just to yield to our fears. And of course, as we have said, we do as a church encourage any kind of, if things get to an extreme, of course there is professional help to be seek for true and good science and medicine supports God's commandments, and also God's commandments supports also the true science or learning, as His Holiness Pope Shenouda has said. The presence of the Lord is what brings strength and peace to us. May the Lord strengthen us this night, this evening, to behold His glory and His majesty, to know that He is the true God. And when He appeared to the disciples in the midst of the lake, as they trembled and were just about to perish away, He said, "It is I, do not be afraid. Let us put our trust in Him, as He is the Lord of lords and God of gods, and glory be to Him forever and ever. Amen." Just take a minute to reflect on the topic of this evening, and then if you have any questions or comments, we can address them.